Our evangelist coming, Brother Gray.
Glory to God. You may be seated in body. So good to see this crowd tonight. We were just talking about in the office tonight. This is our third week of revival, and it doesn't look like the crowd's diminished, not one person. Matter of fact, it looked like it may be a wall-to-wall crowd tomorrow night. We want you to work on that. I like, just as on a volunteer basis, you're not being made to, but any of our new converts want to stand up and testify right now. Those of you that's either got refilled or touched during this revival, if you'd like to stand and testify. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody else. Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Don't be bashful. Stand up and testify.
More than before. They don't expect him to be on. When I got off that phone, I thought, dear God, why? I felt every sin that I had ever committed came back up to the surface. And I thought, God, I took enough drugs to alter every gene, every chromosome in my body. I'm the one that should have had the baby born deformed. I should have been the one. Their all sight should have said that it should have been me. Why did you let it happen to my brother? Of all people, he's never wandered. He's never strayed. We've all asked ourselves why at one time or another. If you haven't, you haven't lived for God long. Because listen, I don't know who you are and I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. But there'll come a time in your walk for God when you're not going to stop the mouth of the lion, and your dead's not going to raise, and you're not going to have the fires quenched in your life, and you're going to be singed, and you're going to be torn, and you're going to be wounded, and you're going to be scarred, and you're going to pray in prayer just like this. Why, God? Why is this happening? I've started serving you. I've started living for you. I've turned around from all that. Why must this happen in my life? And I believe God, if He could answer back in words, would say, child, because I love the sinner, and I will not let judgment be speedily executed, but I will be long-suffering toward their sins. And I want you to bear with me until judgment. See, Kobe was born with a rare bone disease. He still lives today. But the only way Kobe can get around is roll on the floor. Just belly over back, belly over back. The only way he can get around, little arms just like rubber. He was giving out trick-or-treat candy the other night. His daddy's got a little motorized wheelchair and had a formica top deal on it and had a bunch of little candy. Had to lay it out for him. And the kids would bring all these other kids getting out of the car, running up to Kobe, running up to the house. Do you know what running does to Kobe's heart? He'll never run. And they said, trick-or-treat. Kobe's got a little mask on, little plastic suit on, and he's trying to be part of the rest of the kids, but he'll never be the rest of the kids. He couldn't even pick the candy up and put it in the bag. He had to slide it off the formica top. Kobe never done nothing to nobody. And I've asked myself a million times, why, God? Why is deformities in life? Why there's rapes? Why are there murders? Why is there such iniquity on the face of this earth today? Why, God? I can tell you why the scale seems to tip the other way sometimes. Because God loves the sinner. But don't ever forget, there's a day of judgment coming to this world. And it's not going to be judgment of just fire and brimstone. But after God gets through scorching the sinner, He's going to turn to the millions of Kobe's that are in life. And He's going to give them a brand new set of legs. He's going to give them some arms that's going to function like they were made to function. And for Kobe, judgment is going to know what it is to run down the streets of glory, praising God and thanking God for a set of limbs that will finally work after all these years. And sinner, you dare have the right to think that God doesn't love you. He loves you tonight. And He's letting every bit of that bank up. He's letting every bit of that dam up. Why? Because He loves you. Because He's listening to every child cry. He's listening to every injustice and every wrong that's being committed and every bit of it's piling up in His heart. And when He would love to destroy this world, and when He would love to flood this world with water and burn the fields with fire, He loves the sinner just a little bit more. You can beat his back. You can put thorns in his brow. And he was human like us in a lot of ways. Don't think he was on some kind of sadistic pain trip. He withdrew from that with everything that was in him, just like you and I would. But there was something on the other side of his heart that said, I love the sinner. I love the sinner. One Christmas, we were at my brother's as the musicians come. I've told this to the church, but for the benefit of the new converts that haven't heard it. And I would to God I didn't have this as an example. I'm not manipulating his situation. I would to God it was traded and somebody else's nephew wouldn't have had it. Kobe come rolling up on the floor. The kids was coming in and out of the house. You know how kids can wear a screen door or a door out, just slamming it. And my brother said, y'all children, said, young, you bunch of youngins are all the nephews. And he said, y'all get in or get out. Quit going through the door and don't slam it when you go through. Kobe, see, he can't go running out there chase with nobody else. He come rolling up with his little matchbox car on the carpet. My brother took an envelope out of his pocket from a man at work and said, Kobe, Mr. So-and-so sent you this money or sent you this for Christmas. And he couldn't even open his little hands like just. And his daddy tore it open. Now his mind is, don't pity him for his brain, because his mind is just as alert as any 8 or 9 year old that you'd want. Probably even smarter. His daddy opened it up. Let him have it. And he stuck those little fingers down in there. He pulled a $10 bill and a $20 bill out. And his daddy asked him, Kobe, what are you going to do with that money? And Kobe began to name off all the toys that he was going to buy. And you have to understand my brother. My brother loves God. If there's anybody in my family that loves God, it's my brother. He serves God. I was telling Brother Barnes the other day, my brother started off on the assembly line of a plant. And he's over the whole plant now, been elevated all the way to the top position, over 400 something men at a plant. And he told God when he was on the assembly line, he got his first promotion. And he said, God, if you'll bless me like you're doing, he said, I'll pay 20% of my income to you. I don't have to, but I'll do it. And he pays 20% tithes on everything that comes into his hands. And Kobe pulled that money out. When he asked him, he said, Kobe, what are you going to do with that money? Kobe said, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy that. And his daddy stopped him and said, no, you know what I'm talking about, Kobe. And Kobe knew. He looked at his daddy and sort of hung his eyes a minute and said, I'm going to pay my tithes. $3. See, his daddy, even he doesn't pity him. His daddy doesn't pity his little boy. And Kobe said, I'm going to pay my tithes. Just a little 9-year-old infant. And his daddy wants him to have some type of relationship with God. But I'll never forget what Kobe said after that. When he got through, we was drinking our tea and coffee, and Kobe looked up at his daddy and said, Daddy, if I paid my tithes, would Jesus let me walk? I just had to leave the room. And I just thought, here, why? And when I read the scripture that says we look for judgment, Kobe is looking for judgment. All of the children and all of the injustices and all of the iniquity that's been committed and all of those that's been harmed and done wrong and never got seemingly repayment, never had legs in this world, never knew what it was to hit a home run, will be there at judgment. And God is going to reward him. But it never ceases to amaze me that a God that is so loving would take a child on his knee and say, "Suffer, little children, to come unto me." We'll look down at all of the sins being committed tonight. And if it were me, I'd call fire down out of heaven. And friend, I'd stop the sinner right in his tracks. And I'd hang the murderer. I'd send to the gas chamber the fornicator or whatever, the perverted sinner in his ways. It would be my way to do that. But because God, and don't think that God doesn't believe in it. You say, "Oh, God wouldn't commit nobody to death." He's got hell reserved for the devil, friend. And some of the things that are happening in this world, God said, "I'm going to have to remodel hell to accommodate for some of the things that's going on in this world." And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed tonight, sinner, how long is God going to let you get away with what you're doing? I'm asking you that tonight. How long is this church going to be abused and accused and persecuted until one day she's going to go to her knees and her love for her brother and their sisters that's out in the world is not going to be enough to stop them from praying this prayer? The Bible said they will hang their heads. And they will say, "God, even with your spirit, we can't take this any longer, God. Would you please come and would you let judgment start its roll call?" And when it does, the Bible said God will split the eastern sky and He's going to come take His church out of this world. And friend, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You're not going to keep getting away with it, friend. You're not getting away with it now. You're just having a free ride. Let's all stand. I want to open these altars. I want to tell you the crimson of Calvary is flowing tonight. And He's saying, "Wait. Wait one more service. Wait one more revival. I'm not going to send judgment. I'm not going to let them get what they deserve. I'm going to give them a chance to hide all of their iniquity under the blood." Why don't you come tonight, sinner friend? Why don't you hide your sins under the blood? God bless these that are coming. God bless these grown men and women. Some of you ladies should be joining these men up here. Some of you grown ladies should be up here praying. It shouldn't be just the teenagers and the kids either. Some of you mothers, some of you wives should be up here on this altar pouring your heart out to God. God, don't let my sins catch up with me. God, take my sins. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Don't ever think, friend, that He's condoned sin. Don't ever think that He's allowing you to get away with what you're getting away with, it seems tonight. Because one day, God's going to have enough. One day, God's going to roll it back, and amid all the screams of terror, among all the horror of an end-time holocaust, God is going to deafen His ear, and He's going to say, "You're getting just what you deserved. No, I'm not going to have pity on you. While I was listening to my own children suffer, I deafened my ear, and I'm not going to hear your cry out of hell. I'm not going to hear your plea. I'm not going to watch your tears. I'm going to shun them just like I shunned the deaf baby, just like I shunned the deformed child, just like I turned the Kobe's aside and I robbed them of their legs and I stripped them of a normal childhood. Now it's your time, sinner. How long is God going to wait on you? How long is God going to suffer you to just keep going like you're going?" Church, pray. I want conviction to grip every heart here. What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to turn around and say, "God, I'll take my chances"? Don't ever think it, friend. Don't ever fall into the hands of an angry God. Please don't. Church, pray. Church, pray. How will you appear before the Lord in judgment? Judgment bar. Christ, and He'll stand there. Friend, I don't think you'll wait. I don't think you're going to be surprised when you get up there and you'll hear Him say, "Depart from me." I believe every iniquity, every sin that you've ever committed, you'll be in the back of the line screaming, "No, I don't want to go up there to the bar. I don't want to go up there to the judgment seat. I know what He's going to say. I know how I've lived, and I don't have the blood of the Lamb over my life." Don't let it catch you, friend. Don't let it catch you. Saints, let's gather in. I'm going to invite you to come one more time with the saints. Let's gather in. Let's pray with these that are praying that they would find the Lord in this service tonight. Your garments spotless tonight. Church, gather in. Pray. Pray fervently with these that are in the altar. That's seeking, just yield, keep yielding. You think, "Well, I'm growing tired." Sometimes you got to grow tired to let go of one thing so you can do another thing.